.ca. Tom Gazzola, or as we know him now on the show, 10 push-ups. Tom joins us now. Tommy, how you doing?
Greg's, I'm good. I feel so strong now that I did my push-ups, and yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
What happened? Why is he doing 10?
Well, we went we ended up at On the Rocks later on Saturday night, and when we got in, the doorman said we could get in, but pointed to Tom and said Tiny Tom has to do 10 push-ups, and boom, wow. He got down, and you know what? They're pretty good. The last few, not sure they were, you know, chest to the ground or not, but the first few were pretty good, so I would say very passable, very passable.
Okay,
so.
Well, I didn't think you'd be able to do that many. That's a real positive thing.
Wow.
Oh, that's a compliment. Strutty. That's a compliment.
I bet that actually would be a good contest to see who could do more consecutive push-ups, Strutty or Tom.
Oh, that's what I do every day.
Strutty, it's on, buddy.
Yeah. I think it could beat you actually this. Yeah, we'll see. We'll do it. Wow. Hey, let's tape it next time. I love it. Next time he's in studio, boom, we'll do it. I'll video. That'll be great. Oilers could have done a few more push-ups in the third period. As a rare first time all season, they gave up a lead going into the having led going into the third period. You know, not the worst loss of the season by any stretch of the imagination, but it just, you know, it seemed kind of like a sloppy game on both sides, really.
Yeah, I really did like their first two periods where they jumped out to that lead, and of course you get a two-goal lead going into the third. You know, you think everything's going to go fine, but the Stars were rolling, and we all knew that, and the Stars do have weapons. But that was the first time, especially with the Oilers having leads this year, that it really felt like they were just sitting on it. And it felt like as that third period was going on and on and on, like the Oilers weren't really pushing back, and they didn't keep the pedal to the metal and all those cliches, killer instinct. And I thought the Oilers really let off the gas, and it cost them. So that was the first time to me, Greg's and Strutty, that I was like, geez, what's going on here? You can't give a team like the Stars that much room to take over a game, and they didn't. It cost them. I know they still wound up with a point, but especially going into this long road trip with four divisional opponents, like that extra point might be pretty crucial by the end of this trip, quite frankly. So that's another one of those lessons, maybe another sign of immaturity from this team. But the one thing I've liked about this Oilers team this year is they seem to figure out these little lessons that they go through. So we'll see how they bounce back tomorrow in San Jose. But I that was the one thing that kind of caught me, is they really let off the gas.
Yeah, and I think they did maybe let off the gas, but I think Dallas got pushing. Like, they knew they had to get going. And the one thing that struck me was the two goals, specifically in the third period, was just the lack of attention to detail. And I think that is, you know, this team is getting close to maybe where they can be a consistent performer. But those are the little details. And in the third goal, it was puck watching. On the fourth goal, it was you know, a lack of understanding where everyone should be but just not being in the right place for the back check. And those are very easily corrected mistakes. But it's those details, I think, that the coaches will be pushing or stressing on as they move through the next, let's say, quarter of the season.
I'll throw this out there, and this was kind of talked about not too much at the rink today as we were waiting to go into the room, but on that overtime winner by Jamie Benn, did you guys think Koskinen was kind of too far over or misplayed that, or was that more so Darnell Nurse, like, waving at the puck? How did you guys see it? Because I was like, well, that was a nice play in tight by Jamie Benn, quick hands. We know he has that. He's a lethal scorer when you give him an opportunity. But some of the discussion was, hey, Nurse should have swiped that puck away, or Koskinen kind of overslid. What did you guys see on that one?
Well, I definitely think that Koskinen overslid. He slid way over to the right. I mean, you look where Ben's standing. He's pretty far, you know, to that side of the post, and he's able to reach around and do a backhander. So I would say for sure that he was there. Now, you know, the D-man can always play a little bit differently, but you know, as a goalie, you kind of want to be more square rather than sliding over that far. What'd you see, Greg's?
Well, I thought it was a pretty good delayed play, right? Darnell Nurse kind of, when it's 3-on-3, there's a lot of open ice. And Nurse, you have to respect the pass. At some point, you've got to go to the shooter. So he goes, they slide the nice pass. You know, maybe Koskinen overslid a little bit. I know he was pretty hard on himself. He thought, you know, he didn't like that play. But Dave Tippett was very defensive of his goaltender in this postgame. He said, what, he didn't like stopping the breakaways and all the 2-on-1s we gave up? Koskinen was quite good in that game. So, you know, 3-on-3, I never get too... Oh, because A, it's not something you're going to see in the playoffs. B, it's a real open track meet, and usually it's like we score on our chance or we're going to end up giving up some chances, and that's kind of how it goes. And you know, Dallas prevented it. You know, the older guys, if anything, McDavid and Drysdale should have changed earlier. I thought right. They got caught out a little bit too long on that shift. And so, you know, there's small little learning things that I did notice the coach kind of mentioned that subtly in the press conference. That wasn't lost on me. So I, because you think about it, if they're changing, they're probably back more back pressure on the back check if they're fresher legs.
Can I throw something at you two guys? I'll just sorry to interrupt you. When I look at the situation with this overtime, did you notice that the Stars didn't start their top studs? And I'm talking Bennett and Seguin. And it was Niskanen, Dickinson, and Pavelski. And I'm honestly, if I'm a coach on another team, I'm putting with all due respect to those guys, my B group out there. And I'm going to say, guys, just hold on to the puck. Just play defensively. Don't let those guys stay above them. So don't let them have 2-on-1s. When I say those guys, I'm talking about Leon and Connor. I'm like, stay above them. Just, you're going to chew up a minute and a half. And then when those guys come off or they get down their shift, I'm throwing my big guns out there. And now my big guns get to go against the Oilers again, with all due respect, the B group. You know, and I think that that's the way you got to play against them, because Leon and Connor, they're not afraid to give you a chance to score, but I will definitely trade those guys. You know, if you want to give them 2-on-1, I'd definitely, you know, be happy to let them give up a 2-on-1 to get a 2-on-1. You know what I mean? So I think teams, that's how you have to play in the overtime. And I remember Ottawa did it last year as well. They did it and it worked out for them too. So I think we'll see more teams, or smart teams should start their B group and say, guys, just kill a minute and a half. That's all we're asking for. What do you think, Tommy?
That's a high risk, high reward. That's dicey and ballsy by Jim Montgomery to do that. I mean, it paid off, but like, Strutty, how many times are 97 and 29 going to miss on opportunities in a minute 15? That's the only thing that I'd look at. And if I'm a head coach, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I want to end this. Cause if they don't score on their first chance, I'd want my guys out there, my best guys, to try to end it as soon as possible too. But that is an interesting way of going about it, but I think it's pretty dicey, in my opinion, going against what McDavid and Drysdale continue to do. So interesting, but Jim Montgomery, I think he's a pretty smart guy. He's shrewd and all that, and called out his guys last week. But I think I'm more conservative when I look at tactics and stuff like that.
Really?
I am. I just am generally, but... Maybe people will look at that. I mean, obviously, other teams are going to game prep for the Oilers, and if they wind up in an OT situation against the Oil, they say, hey, this worked for the Stars, and if they feel they have the confidence in their defensive guys or two or three guys that they can roll out there for the first minute and a bit and think that they can hold off McDavid and Drysdale, then that might be the strategy going forward. But I just think it's dicey. I also really like this 3-on-3. I wouldn't mind seeing it extended to, like, it goes 10 minutes so we get rid of the shootout. That's the one thing John Tortorella said that I actually agree with lately.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Tom, Eskimos losing to the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Bombers defeating the Riders. So we got the two longest droughts in the CFL going at it in the Grey Cup. One of them is going to end it. Bombers haven't won since 1990. Tiger Cats haven't won since 1999. The Eskimos, I thought a fitting end to their season. They played competitive, but they just weren't as good as the top teams ahead of them in the standings, and that came to fruition again yesterday. So now it is blackout week. No teams can make announcements, so you're not going to hear anything on the Jason Moss yay or nay if he's staying or going. Do you think he will be the head coach in December for the Edmonton Eskimos?
Greg, I don't think so. And I thought going into the playoffs, we're throwing out the ideas like, does a Grey Cup run, if he makes it to the Grey Cup game, does that save his job? And it, like, I know in the 4 years that he's coached this team, he's been to the West Final and the East Final, missed the playoffs last year when they were hosting the Grey Cup, and that was rough too, considering how well that this team has started the last two seasons, and then they faded away. And I've said it, like, the same problems plague his teams: discipline, weird play calling, and Moss losing his cool. And towards the end of the year, they start to lose and they fall out of the postseason, or they barely get in. I know 9-9 was a decent mark, but they got worse this year and they didn't beat good teams. We've talked about that this year. I just think now that there's been that much of a history in 4 years worth of games and watching his tendencies, that I think that now it shows like that maybe it's time to move on, because life as a coach in any pro sport is based on results. And quite frankly, I thought this was a team that had the talent to compete for a Grey Cup, and I thought Brock Sunderland provided the players to make it happen, and for whatever reason it didn't work. And I think, you know, you look at where the issues are and the constants and where the problems might be, and I think it might be time to look at head coach Jason Moss and say, is he the right guy moving forward? So I think if I'm answering if he's going to be the coach by December, I think maybe not, because after this week-long embargo around the CFL, you know, we'll find out. But I think that might have been it for him.
Do you think if he has the option or knows there's probably another option out there, does he want to come back and coach this team? Like, do you think there's an opportunity? Like, do you think there's an opportunity that maybe he's thinking, you know what, maybe there is somewhere else I can go to and coach there?
Well, the natural, you know, as an outsider looking in on this situation, I would think that him and Ed Hervey have obviously a great rapport together, and there's an opening there. I know they've talked about Rick Campbell in BC and asked for permission to speak to him, but that might be the most logical step, Strutty, and I could see that maybe being what ends up happening. Like, where's Paul Lapolis going to wind up, too, at the end of this year? Because there's talk that he might wind up as a head coach as well. And I thought as soon as Ottawa got rid of, or they mutually parted ways with Rick Campbell, I'm like, well, there you go. I think that's the natural fit with the Eskimos, with his dad. And he essentially grew up at Commonwealth Stadium. And so, I mean, I guess there's going to be some options out there. But I don't know. I just think the tendencies that we've seen through the last few years show that with Jason Moss at the helm, it isn't necessarily going to result in a Grey Cup championship with this team, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? You obviously need some other players too, I think, the Eskimos. I'm not sure. I don't think the Eskimos' talent level has been a Grey Cup champion talent the last few years. So, you know, they've got a good foundation, but I'm curious to see not only the coaching change, because I expect it to happen. I'd be very surprised if it didn't. And, you know, the Campbell to Edmonton makes a lot of sense just because him and Brock Sunderland have history together. I don't believe it would necessarily be the right decision to let Jason Moss go, to be honest. I'm not saying it'd be the wrong decision either, but I think people think that Moss is the only reason the Eskimos have been an average team the last few years. No. I think the players need to be better. I think the management team needs to be better. Like, how many import starters has Brock Sunderland brought in who didn't play on other teams? Like, I'm talking guys you scout from free agents that came into play.
Right. That's
right.
A good point, too.
So that's something that's going to have to improve, because you can't just, because the only way usually to get other guys from the league is you get them in free agency and you're overpaying for them. Right. So, and that's something that you just, that's not in any league, spending in free agency is rarely the way to win. Right. Everybody's like, oh, the Eskimos won in free agency. They had a losing record. Right. It happens every summer in other NHL. Oh, look at this team. Big free agent signings. It rarely works. It's not the way to do it. So I'm curious what Sunderland and them do. I fully expect a decision. The best one should be Monday, right after you either have a press conference, Jason Moss is staying or he's going. There is zero reason to delay it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. And Sunderland's background isn't scouting too, Greg. It's like he should have a decent ability and eye and trust in his scouting department to dig up guys, because that's where he came from. That's the world he came from as well. But that is a good point. Bring in some imports that are scouted and that nobody else had an eye on, or you were able to get to convince to come to Edmonton. I'll throw this out there too, by the way. I know it was ridiculous when I said it a couple of weeks ago when we were getting set for the playoffs, but remember when I said Caleros and the Bombers winning the Grey Cup?
Yeah.
What? Like, I said it jokingly, but this might actually be a thing. I know Hamilton's so good, and they're going to be the favorites going into this thing, but what if? Ugh.
What a crazy year for him.
Yeah, it'll be. There's lots of fun storylines leading up to this game, no question about it. Tommy, we'll talk some Grey Cup and orders tomorrow. Have a good one.
Sounds good, guys. See ya.